Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing today, Stone? Big weekend for you?
Yeah, it was a big weekend. We had the state cheerleading competition. Our crowd didn't win, but they had a good showing, so
yes.
That was fun. And I got to see exotic Columbus, Georgia.
How was that?
Not so exotic, actually.
Really?
They have one building, like, taller than my house in the whole town. So, but it was nice, and they did serve Chick-fil-A at the event, and it was, and I got to see Columbus State
University
cheerleading team do their thing, and they have a whole bunch of guys on the team, and it's amazing how much more you can do on a cheerleading squad
with guys,
and these are guys with muscles.
Oh,
and,
so do high school teams not have guys?
Not a lot of ours does not. Now, they actually had a whole co-ed division, and they could do some things that the other squads just can't do.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. Been getting very jazzed about later today, and we're going to go watch them raise a sign down at 200 Peachtree, right?
Exciting. I guess, is the weather good?
I don't know. It was looking a little overcast this morning. Yeah. It wasn't cold, but it was overcast. But, yeah, the new studio at 200 Peachtree.
That's
we're
right.
Going to have the sign out front that says...
On Peachtree Road.
Right there in the heart of downtown.
That's
man.
Right. So when you're dining at the Ritz-Carlton outside, you can go and look at our sign.
Right, and look straight across. Actually, my sister-in-law is coming to town this week, so I'm just going to take her to the Ritz for a sandwich or something.
There you go.
Go, oh, wow,
what's
look
that
at
over
that,
there?
Charlotte. So we have a great show this morning. We have a return guest that we're going to hear from in a little bit later in the program, Enrico Pena. He's going to get us caught up on the Stay in the Game Summit, and he has brought a guest with him that we're going to look forward to talking with. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman with Welcome Mat Services, Mr. Brian Mattingly. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much, Stone. I appreciate it.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. So do you guys make that mat that's on the stoop of everybody's house?
Or?
Yeah, you know, we get that question
that
a lot.
That was very clever, by the way.
Can you trademark that or patent that? Because there's some money to be made there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of homes. And a lot of folks, you know, want to at least express the idea that you're welcome. No, all kidding aside, man, tell us what you guys are up to, what you're out there doing for folks.
Well, we started Welcome Mat Services back in 2003. We started in Charlotte, North Carolina. We recently have moved our company here to Atlanta last year about this time.
Did you start it?
I am one of the founders.
Oh,
right.
Wow. So you started a franchise on your own?
I actually started the franchisor. And
oh, wow.
We actually moved our company here to Atlanta last year. We had outside investors come in to take us national via franchising. So at this point, what we're looking for is franchisees to start local community businesses all across the U.S. We've recently sold out Indianapolis, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio. We've sold Augusta, Savannah lately, and now we're really focused on Atlanta and Nashville, looking for entrepreneurs that want to start their own, like I said, local community business. And what Welcome Mat is, it actually is a program designed to help local merchants reach out to new families moving into the community, because the idea is someone moving in from Baltimore or Texas or wherever it may be to Atlanta hasn't built relationships yet in their local community. And they say that people that move in build 70 to 71 new business relationships when they move into an area.
And for what period of time, typically?
Typically in the first 3 to 6 months.
Wow. So that's really an opportunity.
Huge opportunity.
I think that's an interesting stat. 71?
70 to 71
wow,
new business
cool.
relationships. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because someone who may have lived in the same house in Roswell or Sandy Springs for the past 20 years typically has habits they've already... you know, are involved with as far as the local community is concerned. So to find someone new who needs a local business or a local merchant is a coveted market for any type of business, whether it be dental, whether it be a restaurant, whether it be a general pediatrician, you know, car wash, you name it.
Do you have any stats on when they find that first one, how long they stay with them? Like, are they loyal to that person, or are they just are sampling at that stage?
I'm a little nerdy with stats. so typically someone stays 5.6 years.
Wow.
And that's when they move into a house. Now, new people that move into a community are five times more likely to become loyal than someone who's actually in the community. So it makes a lot of sense for a local business to attract that type of consumer versus try to spend, you know, their marketing dollars to change someone who's already established.
Right.
And it's interesting. We become kind of this white knight in the world of marketing these days, because there's so many things out there. The local business and local merchants are really needing loyalty at this point. So identifying that consumer that can provide the most loyalty is a very, very big deal.
Well, Well, I got to tell you, I moved in, what, maybe 12 years ago back to Atlanta, and I've bought grits on Saturday morning from the same place for 12 years. I mean, so
the
I mean,
first one, right?
What
the
he's saying
grits
is true.
Place.
All right, so walk us through this. We had some guys on the show last week, GC Barbecue,
okay.
A couple of great guys. They make wonderful barbecue.
Sure.
And they have communicated.
How long have you been working for them? Because you seem to be mentioning them every episode.
I know, I know. I'm the spokesman. I'm trying to wang dangle some free barbecue. Because you could throw a rock from my house to GC Barbecue. That's no accident. But they have expressly communicated, look, we want to be a part of the community. Right. I'm a cheer mom, and they brought barbecue to the cheerleading thing,
sure.
That whole bit. So what would Welcome Mat Services do for somebody like GC Barbecue that just set up shop?
Mm-hmm.
They're in the local shopping center.
Sure.
They want to reach out to the community. And
their community is kind of small. Like, it isn't, like, they don't want Atlanta.
That's
right.
Big.
No, they just
they
want
just
that,
want that
area
couple
there.
Zip codes around their store, I would imagine.
Right.
That's right. So what typically happens is we have a program designed per zip code. So if he's in Sandy Springs.
30062.
That's East Cobb.
Marietta. Yeah,
yeah, right.
So he could reach out to all the new families moving in 30062 or maybe 30068, which is one of the coveted zip codes in Atlanta, in Marietta. So he could design, you know, our program is a turnkey situation. He signs up with us, and each month we hit a new group of new people moving into that area. And you'd be surprised how many people are moving into Atlanta. Well, maybe not based on the traffic on the roadways, but there are a lot of people moving into Atlanta. And it's interesting because of the recession. I get the question all the time. You know, the housing market's down. Who's moving? But it's a different dynamic. You know, 2006, people were moving to upgrade. Now people are moving for real lifestyle changes and real lifestyle things, such as having kids or getting married or, you know, moving back home. There's just a different dynamic, but there's the same amount of moves as a whole. It's just a different type of move.
Now, you say they can hit. What does hit mean?
So the Welcome Mat program it starts out with an envelope that reaches out to that new homeowner, that new mover. So they get a package in the mail. It's got a number of what we call gift certificates in it. We work with companies like the High Museum of Art all the way down to your local barbecue restaurant.
Right.
And in the certificates invite someone new to come in. They come into GC Barbecue. They enjoy a great plate of barbecue and or pulled pork on a bun or brisket or whatever it may be. And if GC does their job, which it sounds like they would do as far as their quality is concerned, that person is highly likely to come back and become a regular. Now, we give them a lot of metrics and technological tools to track the new people coming in. And so they can reach back out to them. They can build a database of all the new movers coming into GC. So we really, the company Welcome Mat is a bunch of software guys that built a program to really add analytics and technology and tracking, but ultimately starting out by reaching out to that new face. So our hope is to find that local franchisee in Marietta who would service GC Barbecue.
Now, do you sell the franchise per zip code, or how does a person buy the franchise?
The franchise is set up based on a number of zip codes. We identify a certain amount of moves, our territories, and it sounds a little Greek, but our territories are 2,000 moves per month. So a Marietta might be East Cobb, Marietta, down into Smyrna and Vining. So that
might
be a territory for a franchisee. And we typically see, and we've sold six in the past 100 days, independent operators who are couples, you know, and it's interesting. There is some, I was talking to someone the other day, there's a real opportunity in this recession, and we see it, and which it's a great story actually for the press, because what we're seeing is people that weren't, you know, apt to step out and become entrepreneurs, although they wanted to over the past decade, and with downsizing and the state of the economy today, they're forced to make that choice,
right?
And it's really creating new opportunities.
Because now that they, I would think they can control their destiny if they're in charge of their company, right?
That's right. So amidst all the rubble, there's some great stories popping out. Just a couple of our franchisees. The real estate typically is something they have in their background in sales and marketing as well.
Right.
But you know, one couple was a real estate. She worked for one of the big home builders, and that they took a big hit. And she worked there for 14 years, and her husband was in mortgages, and you could see how that could have fallen out. And they both have great skill sets, and they've become tremendous entrepreneurs for us, owning their own Welcome Mat Services business.
Now, say my wife and I are interested. Say, like, I guess a typical person, like you mentioned, maybe they were downsized,
mm-hmm.
maybe they had a corporate job, and
sure.
now that you know they're trying to, they're a consultant. Which means unemployed, right? Is that right? So consultant means unemployed. And so now they're looking for opportunities, and they're like, hey, I'm pretty plugged into my community because maybe I was active in the PTA, so I know a lot of the businesses. Would that make me a good candidate for this?
Excellent candidate.
And then is it cost a ton of money? Is this something that I got to get a second mortgage on my home to get involved in?
It's very low cost. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of the bigger, more expensive brick and mortar type franchises have hit some bumps because financing is so difficult.
Right. Like if I wanted to open a restaurant, that could be $1 million.
Exactly. Ours is in the $35,000 range to get to get your business started. And one of the things that we also see is flexibility. Because if you're going to start a brick and mortar type restaurant or some type of franchise like that, you know, you've got to be there at 7 a.m. and get it staffed, and you've got a lot of things to deal with. Ours is typically home based. You can build your own meeting time. So I mean, we do work very hard, but you can pick up the kids at 3 if need be.
Right, because it's flexible, because now you're meeting with the local merchant and saying, hey, you know what, you should do this, and it's not something that I have to have them come to my office to see something, right?
That's exactly
You're showing them, an envelope? Is that what they're... No,
it's actually a platform. But there's a lot of technology in there. We're working on an app right now for mobile.
Okay.
So there's a whole program designed for finding that new loyal face, keeping them, and making them a regular customer in your business. So there's a lot more to just the envelope. The envelope's just the first touch point, and then there's a
There's multiple touch points.
Well, you could send them a link to a radio interview. There's all kind of cool stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. So the investment for the merchant is they're going to discount a meal or something, or have a free meal or something, and then they're writing a check to your franchisee.
That's right. So
there's a service fee for that, right?
Right, and it depends on. I mean, we have some clients that spend $50 a month to use our program, depending on the size of the area they want to hit. Other clients could spend $200 a month to use our program, but essentially they're giving someone a taste to try it. GC, for example, could give you a pulled pork sandwich. To come in and see what they have. I'm new from Baltimore. I come in and I try this and have a good experience. And they pay us, you know, and so if you're bringing 10, 12, 14 new faces and you're, say, taking half of those and making them regular, the ROI is significant for that local merchant for such a small investment, plus all the technology you get and analytics you get.
Now, how do you differentiate your company from all of these daily deal things?
Yeah, it's interesting. The daily, like I said, we're kind of the white knight in the world of the deals today. One of the things that we've seen and we hear, because we deal with so many local merchants on a national level, we hear the challenges they're up against as far as loyalty is concerned.
Right.
People are becoming deal chasers. And it's just, you know, once you become a deal chaser or once a business becomes a discounter, they're stuck in that regard. Welcome Mat is by no means a discounting. In fact, it's a joke around our office that anytime the word coupon comes up, we put a quarter in the jar, you kind of thing, because, you know, we don't, we're so much of a loyalty program, you know, versus a coupon or a discount. So we're really, you know, just focused on that new face that can bring that local GC barbecue.
How do you work with your merchant to create that compelling offer that gets them in the door, but also doesn't create that environment of I'm chasing a deal? Because that seems a little tricky.
Yeah, and we've, you know, one of the things we're able to do is track. So we have a decade's worth of data on how to set up your response.
Because Welcome Mat's been around for that long?
Yes, 2003. So we have a database with all the big brands in the country we've worked with to some extent. So we know we can walk into Chick-fil-A and say, here's what you need to do to use our program. So we've got a program spelled out. It's pretty turnkey in that sense. So the data tracking has not only enabled our local businesses to build a database, but it's also helped our company set up new merchants.
So like if you were going to work with that barbecue place, you could counsel them in saying, you know what, instead of the sandwich, why don't you go with half a slab of ribs? We've had better results. Like, do you have
the
analytics to that degree?
Absolutely.
So how do you market to the franchisees? Where do you find the couple where, you know, the guy got laid off at a big firm? And
sure.
Now
he hangs out at outsourcing places.
You know, that's a really good question. One of the things that we're doing, we're going city by city right now. We're getting ready to roll out a big campaign here in Atlanta for the North. We're really interested in Johns Creek, Milton, Alpharetta, you know, all the way to Beaufort, Roswell, Sandy Springs. In town is a great area for us. We have established clients all over the city, but we're really looking to sell these local units. So we're actually getting ready to put out a big campaign, getting involved with the local community newspapers here in town, getting involved with some social media, some different tactics to find that person who's saying, hey, you know what, I really need something now, and I'm waiting for that opportunity to show up.
So the way that you get the person who just moved in is with public information?
We've built a proprietary system over the past however many years we've been doing this, and it's we deal with companies that compile information.
Right.
And so we've put together this whole software system that pulls from all these different companies that compile.
So you know that they just moved in within the last 30 days, 60 days, or something like that?
We're a little bit at the mercy of the mover and how fast they change their information, but typically we say 30 to 90 days.
So you don't have that information for people who just lost their job?
That's a good question. No,
yes, that is a good question.
That's a really good question.
That's why I'm here.
You're two for two.
great question.
So if a franchisee does not perform, women back up, are there standards that a franchisee has to meet?
$35,000.
Or you
that's
pull their car?
Standard.
Or as long as the check clears, you're in?
No, we're very I think one of the things that we did, and as I said, we brought in outside investors last year. So we spent the money to bring in a big consulting firm and help us understand how a franchise is going to be successful. And one of the things that we learned through our due diligence was the last thing you want to do is bring in people that aren't going to, you know, that don't fit the mold or fit the background of what you need, because that's just setting yourself up for disaster.
Well, because being in business for yourself sounds all very sexy, but if you've been going to work for 20 years, you got to make some major
shifts. Especially if you work for a big company,
yeah,
you know, where you're like, well, I'm used to them calling me back because I work for, you know, big company. And then now I work for a little company and they're not calling me back.
So you must have to coach them through some of that too, right?
Well, and that's right. I think that's, you bring up a really good point. One of the things, you know, we definitely award, we it's competitive to get our franchise, and we've built systems and processes very corporate and formalized over the past 7 or 8 years to help these entrepreneurs come in and follow a great system that we have in place. So they have to match our criteria. And then they have to go, you know, and follow the systems we have in place.
Just for our listeners out there, getting a Business Radio X franchise is currently not very competitive. If you send in a $3,500 check, we will send you 4 microphones in a box.
That's it, right? That's all it takes.
Contact our director of franchise operations, Mr. Lee Cantor, after the show.
Give out my home number so they can call me at home. So I bet you've learned a lot then, because franchising is different than running the business. That's a separate business, isn't it?
It's a completely different business.
That's why you had to work with an outside firm?
We brought it so
get up to speed?
That's right. I think that, you know, we wanted to make sure we did it right. I think we saw, you know, I can just say, for example, I was at a show in Houston, a franchise show, and I met a couple brands that had been in business themselves for 18 months and were now franchising. And I think, you know, we waited 8 to 9 years to franchise,
right.
And it, you know, to really build the systems and understand your business and the challenge and the objections and the different things that we've had to deal with over the past years helps us be successful.
Right.
Whereas if you didn't have that experience, I hope all those brands are very successful, and they probably will be, but there is some challenges they
probably
should.
Probably not. We both know.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Now, is your envelope orange or have like a cool color to it or something? Or how do you get people to open the envelope in the sea of direct mail and stuff?
You know, it's interesting. Well, one thing, when people are moving, they're looking. They're seeking. We brought in, it's funny, and I just was talking to her last night, we brought in a designer from San Francisco who had never had any experience with direct mail. We started the company. This was many years ago. And we did several focus groups, and we built a very upscale system, a very upscale envelope that's clean, crisp, doesn't have a lot of color. In fact, we don't allow a lot of color in the welcome mat package because we don't want people to try to outshine each other. We want every business that's in there to have, you know, a great opportunity to find that new face. So we took a little bit of a unconventional way and brought in a designer with no outside or no direct mail experience. And she came in and she was working for Stanford University at the time. And we did several focus groups. And, you know, the welcome mat envelope, we've studied it. 89% to 90% open rate is what we get, which is very high.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's huge.
Huge.
So you guys really do know what you're doing.
I like to think
seems that way.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you, have a substantive conversation, maybe get in a position to at least compete for one of these highly sought after franchises? What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
I think our website's a good starting place. It's welcomematservices.com. You know, the franchise process begins with a conference call. I do a weekly conference call where people who are interested can listen and understand the business, and at that point see if it's a fit for themselves. And that's always our first step. And if it is, then there's a process we go through to an award. But that's the first step. Come to the website, fill out the form, click on the franchising information link, and I'll get you signed up for the conference call, and you'll hear my voice again, and we'll talk through it.
You're looking for franchisees, but you're always probably on the lookout for merchants.
Oh, sure.
Right?
That's
because
right.
This is a good opportunity for merchants to get their name out in for to get new business, and that if they can convert them, that can be game changing for them in this economy, I would imagine.
That's exactly right.
One last question I wanted to ask you. Are there some merchant categories that are just home runs for you guys, like restaurants? Is that just a slam dunk? Is that one of the big ones?
We're pretty big in restaurants. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Our biggest one are dental. Salons,
right?
You know, you think about the value of a loyal client and those types
right,
of things.
Right.
Car washes, you know, there's a car wash here called Michael's Auto Spa right down the street
right.
here in Sandy Springs. He was like our number 10 client. He's still a client.
I'm going to have to charge him a fee now. I can mix him on the air, but that's okay.
He does a great job, and he knows if he gets someone new in, he can keep
them.
That's right. So, you know, hardware stores.
What about your categories?
Psychics. We're having
no, we don't deal with those.
No psychics?
No psychics. We do some churches.
Churches, but no psychics.
Well, it might be fun sometime, if you're up for it, to have Brian come back with like a merchant.
Or a franchisee.
Franchisee.
You have franchisees already in town, right? Just not every zip code.
We don't have them in Atlanta. We're corporate. Oh. Atlanta is now our focus to get. We have them in Augusta, Savannah, and Georgia, but now we're really looking to sell the different areas.
We could have like an award show. Like you were awarded the first franchisee. So have a merchant and or a franchisee. Would you be up for that?
I would totally be up for that.
Because I'd love to hear it, you know, from their perspective.
That would be
because you're very articulate, but, you know, you're paid to talk and think like that. But you did a fantastic job. We'd love to have you back sometime. Brian Mattingly with Welcome Matt Services. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us for a little while?
I will hang out.
Visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is High Velocity and Business Radio X veteran guest, Mr. Rico Pena, here to get us caught up once again on the doings over there and getting prepared for the Stay in the Game Summit coming up in January. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me back, Stone.
Yeah.
I just want to know, the cheerleaders didn't do so well. Was that because you were wearing the outfit or you were coaching them?
We learned that he should not be on top of the pyramid.
That's what I thought, you see?
I should be a base. But you learn these things through trial and error, right? But no, they had a great season. They peaked at the right time. Shout out to those guys, those ladies over at Pope. They did a terrific job. We had a good season. And I really do enjoy being a cheer mom. It's a lot of fun. So and you are dapper as ever. I'm sorry
listeners
can't see that over the airwaves. But every time I see you, you seem like you have just a little bit more energy, a lot going on with the Stay in the Game Summit.
I'm telling you, we are like a locomotive. We're now going downhill, moving faster. Since our last radio interview, we've picked up a few more vendors, a few more tables are being sold.
Nice.
And we're raising almost $4,000 now for the Wounded Warrior Project. So thank you again to Radio X. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, we're delighted to do it. And before, I know you brought a guest with you, and we want to learn about that gentleman's business and his role in this summit. But get us caught up a little bit and re-educate us, if you would, about the Wounded Warrior Project and what we can expect to see as we participate in the summit.
Well, the Wounded Warrior Project was started about 4 years ago during the Iraq-Afghanistan War, and it helps support the warriors who are coming home who have loss of limb or mental challenges and things of that nature, as well as their families. One of the biggest challenges is PTSD, as well as coming back into the civilian world, having to deal with challenges physically, which also has a financial scenario to it as well. So Wounded Warrior Project helps these families to assimilate back into the world, have some support system both for family and the individual, and they're now a national organization. And it's one of the few organizations that focuses on 80 to 90% of everything they bring in goes to the wounded warriors themselves. So we're helping to put some awareness to it, helping to raise money for it. And as a prior veteran and a wounded warrior, which I didn't have when I came back, it's something that we have a lot of pride in.
So if you would, introduce your guest.
Absolutely. It's Walt Hensley. He's also not a guest, but also a client and one of our top sponsors for the summit. The name of his company is Double Deals. Also a former veteran, Marine Corps as well. And he's got a very great concept where he helps companies not only raise money for their charities, but also for their industry. And I wanted to bring him on board to let people know that he exists, but also how he's going to support us through the summit. So say hello, Walt.
Good morning. Well, what we are is Double Deals, D-U-B-L-D-E-A-L-S, and we are based on the premise that customers don't want to know how much you charge necessarily over the long haul and so on. They care about how much you care about them. That makes them come back, and that makes them refer business to you.
And you have a focus on this this thing called cause marketing, which I know almost nothing about. Surprise, surprise. Lee, you know anything about cause marketing?
No, I'd like to learn more, Walt.
Well, cause marketing is one of those things that's intuitive in business, but it's not been assigned a label for until 1983. That's when American Express helped with the Statue of Liberty campaign and repaired the Statue of Liberty. They raised many more millions of dollars than they ever anticipated raising. And that's when it was labeled cause marketing. Since then, you've seen many things on the air and in different media advertising different causes. Breast cancer, Susan B. Conan, I'm sure you've seen her name everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Cause everywhere. So that's what it is.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, all kidding aside, we actually are seriously contemplating next October, a lot of our materials and art are going to, instead of having the red X on it, we're going to make it pink. So,
pretty good concept. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so many lives are touched by breast cancer, whether you're male or female. Yeah. So many. All right. So, yeah, say more about this cause marketing stuff.
Well, what we did is we set it up so that you can have an engine that gives you new business, repeat business, and referral business. When 86% of the time, when customers look at an item, if it's affiliated with a cause, they will buy. If it's affiliated that item as opposed to a similarly priced item. 94% of the time, they say they prefer their local businesses to be involved in causes. So they're on board with the cause marketing concept.
Now, do you have an example of how this would work? Like, who's your client that would...
We have two sets of clients. One is the local business. It can be a restaurant, like the barbecue place, or it can be, out on the other side, it's charities. Anybody that wants business and wants to be a partner with helping the local community raise money for good causes is a good client. And then any charity that needs some help fundraising is also a good client for us.
I mean, to me, the concept makes sense. I think I would be a little quicker to, if there were two similar items and I viewed them as similar and they were similarly priced, I think I would be inclined to go with the one that was affiliated with some cause. In fact, I don't know. I might even be willing to pay a little bit more. I don't guess I would be looking for that deep discount as much as I would just feel good about myself that some of that money went to the breast cancer folks. Or whatever.
Actually, they say that occurs 28% of the time, that people are willing to pay more for an item.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
Wow, so 28% of us have a really big heart.
That's it.
That's what this was an effort to help more people give. In today's world, 70% of the people give. 30%, that means that 30% don't. But 100% of the people spend their money. And what we wanted to do was help local businesses and the local causes tap in to that extra 30%, as well as the 70% that already exists. Just add to it and embellish it, without them having to spend extra money.
Right. And do your clients typically, once they start doing this, is this something that they just do forever? I would imagine that once you get in the habit of giving, then it's pretty sticky.
Well, that is certainly the hope. The repeat rate is very high for when you're related to a cause. 43% of the time, they say they actually do refer people. 76% of the time, they say they will refer people. So there is that repeat and refer component to it.
And so walk us through the mechanics a little bit. How does this work? Because I'm getting the sense in looking at this brochure that I have in front of me that a lot of this can be delivered electronically, or I'm made aware of the opportunities electronically.
It is a web-based application, and since Brian has forbidden us from saying the word coupon, I won't say it's a coupon, but it is a daily deal, and it offers other deals as well.
Right.
And what someone does is they sign up on our site at doubledeals.com, that's D-U-B-L, deals.com, and then they're enrolled. Whenever they go to our site, they can pick a cause that they want to give to, and or if their cause is not on the site, they can nominate that cause. And within a couple of days, we will vet that cause to make sure it is what they think it is.
Right.
And that it's
so it can't be like the Stone Cheerleader Scholarship Fund.
That's exactly right.
You think I might not make it through the vetting process?
He would not make the cut. That would be highly suspicious.
Well, but I'm liking this. So I can go and I can look for categories of merchant services, or I can look for charities?
You will get on the front page every day, you'll get a daily deal.
Right.
And then you can look at our other deals page and see what else there is available in your community. It's all community-based, too, and focused, because we feel like that helps the local consumer, local business owner best.
Right. Now, can the charity be my kid's school? Or does it have to be like kind of a national?
No. As a matter of fact, we're focused on local causes, local people, local businesses.
So then you encourage the schools
Absolutely.
And things like that, school or church to get involved?
Absolutely, yes. And all they need to do is contact us, and they fill out a little one-page form, and it's it.
So back to this cause marketing mm-hmm. thing. It strikes me that you've got to be smart as a business owner, as a merchant, in if and how you wag your tail about being associated with a cause. Because there's an elegant way to do that, and there's a boastful way to do that that's not going to go over too well. Is that?
You're very perceptive, and that's where we can come in. We vet the causes, number one, and it doesn't require that you promote a cause. Now, the disadvantage the local business owner has is that he can't compete with a national corporation who is promoting causes and at the same time promote his own cause until the customer comes in the door. In this way, he can promote it on the site, and it's known that he's affiliated with causes. And it's the cause the person wants to help, not the cause he's picked out.
Cool. You know, so, one of the things that attracted me to Double Deals is the fact that when you hear all the other marketing components out there, your Groupons, Living Socials, there's always a disparity between the profit. Well, Double Deals takes from their profit and give that to the profit center or the cause that they're supporting. It doesn't come from the merchant unless they so choose to. And that was what got me as different, that they're taking out of their pocket, out of the profit they made, to go to the nonprofit organization.
Nice. Another component of it, too, is there's a thermometer on that landing page. And what it indicates is where the purchase activity is for that day. As the activity increases and reaches the different lines, the other sites calls them tipping points. We call them giving points. The rate of compensation to the charities goes up. So not only does the amount go up on, you know, by virtue of the number of transactions, right, but the rate of the compensation goes up as well. It can go up to, it starts at 25% of our gross revenue and can go as high as 75%.
That's really cool. So talk to me about how and why you're going to participate in this Stay in the Game Summit, above and beyond just the fact that you're a client and you appreciate the relationship with Rico.
Well, we're in love with the Wounded Warriors. We wouldn't have local businesses and local charities were it not for the Warriors who protect us. And it's just a great cause.
And Double Deals is helping a lot of the vendors provide extra marketing and advertising for those who participate with us to get the word out. And every time a sale is done, it's donated to the Wounded Warrior.
Nice. So this sounds like it's a very symbiotic, I can't spell it, but I can say it, symbiotic relationship.
Absolutely,
yeah?
Yes.
All right. And before we let you guys go, tell us a little bit more about what we can expect as participants of this
Certainly.
Thing.
You can expect to walk away that day with a plan, networking, a sense of what you can do to survive in 2012. We're bringing a lot of target market audience. We're bringing in some experts that are coming in to provide you with their knowledge, their expertise, and a plan that you can incorporate, whether it's in life, whether it's in business, whatever areas. But what we're also doing is not stopping there. We've created tracks for the entire year that you can participate in for business or life.
This is what I love, and I've heard this a couple of times now, Lee, but this is what I love about this conference. It's more of a process than it is
Correct.
An event. It's
Right.
not even accurate to call it an event.
Not at all. We just had to for people to understand it, but it's a starting point. We're going to be with you the entire time, the entire process, giving you options that you can apply throughout the year. And in October, we're going to have an award show for those who have gone through it and have succeeded through it. So it's no just a rah-rah, feel good, and, you know, see you later, help come back next year. No, we're there to help you stay in the game, whether it's in life or in business. And we have the experts, we have the vendors, we have the networking, we have all of the components you need. If you apply them, you will be successful in 2012, and that's what you can expect in the summit.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very heartwarming to hear about the work with the Wounded Warriors. It's been a lot of fun talking with you several times over the last 5 or 6 weeks and being introduced to some of your clients and your sponsors. I want to make sure that our listeners know where they can get all the information about the summit, and I also want to make sure, Walt, that they know how to get in touch with your firm as well and learn about this Double Deals.
Great.
Tell them how to get a hold of you.
You can contact us at customerservice@doubledeals.com.
And you can reach us at the summit at www.sensationalyou.net, or you can call me personally at 770-616-8080. And one option for all of the Radio X listeners who do register, if they put in the word warrior, they get $20 off all of the entry fees.
Nice. Well, thank you very much. What a terrific gift to our listeners. It's been an absolute delight having you on the show, gentlemen.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, Brian Mattingly, Walt Hensley, our buddy Rico Pena, and everyone here at the Atlanta Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.